We're ready to start.
Atlas Ian is 6'2" and 330 pounds.
The trial has started.
His body is built like a human-shaped cage of whirling hydraulics. Right now, in front of an audience on this Saturday morning at the Homestead Miami Speedway, Ian is slowly trying to pick up a 2x4 made of balsa wood.
So this task simulates a disaster, and so maybe an earthquake happened and rubble fell.
Peter Newhouse is with the Florida Institute for Human and Machine Cognition, and he's one of Ian's coaches in the DARPA Robotics Challenge. DARPA stands for Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. It's the research and development wing of the Pentagon. The inspiration for this challenge was the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear meltdown, when engineers say a robot that could handle radiation exposure would have been useful for preventing some of the catastrophe. It's why the robots are being tested on skills like opening doors, turning valves, walking over rubble, and clearing debris. And it's fitting that the robot challenge trials are here, where 21 years ago, Hurricane Andrew swept through and left a wake of rubble and destruction. With each piece of rubble Ian tosses aside, there's $3 million at stake. DARPA has budgeted $1 million in funding for each of the top 8 winners from the trials, and there's a $2 million grand prize for the winner of the finals next year.
The prize money, $2 million, is great, but we're not really doing this for the money.
Dennis Hong is here with a team from Virginia Tech.
We're trying to develop new technology that eventually one day will actually save people's lives, to save humanity.
Right now, the robots are moving really, really slowly, but this is how it starts. Google recruited developers for its driverless cars out of DARPA challenges in 2005 and 2007.
I see these robots as a one-year-old toddler. It's just taking its first step.
In the audience, 8-year-old Umbertico Carrilero is ready for the machines to grow up. He and his parents are Cuban immigrants now living in Miami. He's really into robots.
Yeah, I love them because I think a lot about the future and how humanity is going to improve, like when cars fly and drive themselves.
Umbertico may not have to wait that long. On the other side of the speedway, Team Thor is duct taping a compact black robot into an ATV. Thor grips the steering wheel, and at the command of the human and a computer in the garage, Thor gingerly drives forward onto an obstacle course. It takes Thor nearly 30 minutes to zigzag half a block. But as Jonathan Greco points out, this is a machine driving a machine.
So right now, we're just inching our way forward, trying to get a sense of where we want to go.
The robot is driving like a teenager who's learning how to drive right now.
Pretty much. Yeah, very, very cautiously.
John Seminatore is also on Team Thor.
If you think about situations like what happened in Haiti, where you had very limited resources that could get in because of the damage and because of the limited airfield space, having a self-contained robot like the ones we're doing here that don't need specialized equipment, they can use normal human tools, is a huge, huge advantage.
At the end of the trials on Saturday, Ian made it to the top 8, along with the robots from MIT and Shaft, a company recently acquired by Google. Thor placed 9th, meaning the robot can still compete in the finals, but it's not eligible for the $1 million development funding. Seminatore still has big plans.
My dream would be to see one of our robots, Thor, pulling someone out of a disaster area.
In Miami, I'm Sammy Mack.